Okay. Good morning. Thank you for being here. It's 9:48. I'm so grateful for you to join us. As we know and as we discussed with Eva, whom you know, we all know each other, so we can move a bit faster with certain parts of our meeting and get more to the point. On behalf of Eva, I will share with you some things and some expectations so that we can keep our conversation focused and very fruitful, I hope, and very diverse. My name is Paola Cabrera, as you know, and I'm a doctoral student in Aalto, and I'm interested in pedagogics and teaching. So for me, as part of the research team, in this case, it's also very valuable to hear all these insights. So, excuse me a second. Yes. So we are going to talk for the next 60 minutes on the theme of being at home in academia, but in a way that can and will meander into other issues that students on graduate level courses at Aalto are likely to come across. Eva thinks it will be useful for her for developing her teaching generally and for thinking about qualitative methods teaching. Basically, the methods were originally developed in social research and the problems we discussed arose in those contexts. But she is curious about how they are perceived and used outside the world, outside that world, the academic world. For example, in the arts and design faculty or beyond. So beyond social sciences research. This session is also designed to give students hands-on experience on focus groups. So while we are discussing these issues, we are hopefully learning on this topic of focus groups. Eva has no plans to publish from this material we will be collecting, or she doesn't plan to make it public, but she would like to think that if something comes up that she wants to follow up, she will contact you directly about it. So she would like to know, are you okay with that? If she wants to follow up on the material that is collected.
Yes.
Everyone is nodding. Yeah. So everyone agrees? Yeah. No problem. Okay, thank you. As researcher, Eva has prepared 11 questions, but she doesn't expect us to get all of them, and that's okay. It's important that we feel free to think together about our experiences within academia in general and specifically this type of class. That is multidisciplinary, hands-on, yet supported by quite a theoretical textual material. First, to get us going, I would like everyone to get your names and introduce yourselves briefly and in a way that our recording will pick it up. So let's start on my left.
Maria Villa, second year master's student of visual culture and contemporary art.
Thank you.
Mary Carida, I'm a third year PhD student in the Department of Design. I'm interested on tangible representations of personal data.
Interested on, sorry?
Tangible representations of personal data.
Thank you.
Vanessa Mork, the third year architecture master student.
Yeah, thank you.
Ning Fing Zhang, second year doctoral student from New Media Department.
Thank you.
I'm Emilia Veselova. I'm a first-year doctoral student at the Department of Design.
And I'm Ida Hietala, a second-year doctoral candidate at the Department of Media.
Thank you very much. So, having introduced ourselves, does anyone have any questions at this point? Would you like me to repeat some of Eva's wishes for our discussion or expectations? Everything is okay? Everyone is okay. Agreeing?
Yes.
Okay. Buna dim demek.
We will also make I will introduce Emilia, who will help us with our note-taking, and she might also comment or ask some questions if she becomes very interested in something that you are saying and she would like to find out more about what you mean by what you are saying. So I encourage you to do this thing, use this technique of asking what do you mean is often useful, because often we seem to assume that the other person is really understanding the same thing we are saying, and it often is that what we are saying and what the others are hearing don't actually match. So it's very interesting to ask like what do you mean and elaborate further. So let's start at 9:54. I will introduce the first question. This course was designed to be a mix of lecturing, reading, exercises, reflections, and group conversations. How comfortable have you felt about joining in the conversation? Who would like to go in first?
Well, as it often happens, I'm very comfortable. So maybe it's interesting to hear what others felt during the process.
Well, I typically am not very comfortable in speaking in public, and I'm trying to get myself to like beating up myself to get to speak. So it's always an exercise for me to start speaking somewhere. Like right now at the moment. I'm quite a silent person in groups, but when I'm together with my friends, so then I tend to speak, but I'm not used to talking in public with some new people at least, so it takes me some time to get to know people, and then I'm more comfortable with that.
I think for me in general, it takes me some time to process information, and I find that like it's quite fast, like when you have to reflect into something, like in general. But it's a really nice atmosphere. I'm comfortable in general, but it takes me time to think through something.
In this course in particular?
In this course in particular, because all the stuff are very new. Like usually I'm quite responsive, but for me a lot of the theory that I receive or I've been listening to in this class are quite a new thing for me at least. So I would, it would be nice if it kind of go a bit longer, then it stretch out a bit so you kind of dive into the topic a bit more before discussions.
The comfort,
in between sessions.
The degree of comfort.
Yeah, probably confidence, maybe.
You were saying?
That it would stretch in between sessions, you mean? So you would have more time to process the readings before going to the discussion?
Probably, for me, probably. But I don't know if that is related to comfort or not, in general.
So I particularly heard that it was very rich, but I would have need more time to unpack what we're talking about every week. Like just more time to process the text and take my own notes, and
exactly.
It's very quick, the pace.
How comfortable did you feel about joining the conversation?
So because I've missed quite some lectures because I had this issue at the beginning, I must say that it was not difficult to join in the conversations. Like I didn't feel uncomfortable because the environment is quite inclusive. But following up to what has been already said, it's not that what you said, you know, was repeated in every lecture, but I mean you get a different understanding of the things that are happening in the future. Like, for instance, in the last lecture we had, I think in comparison to me. But in general, it was a great experience. It's fine. Like, it was okay to talk in the class. And also the fact that the format of the, for instance, we had to present the cultural props, that didn't necessarily mean that we had to have a PowerPoint presentation. Eva was quite flexible on how we're gonna do stuff, and that also made it inclusive.
Would you add something about the your degree of comfort in our course?
Well, first of all, I have to say that I have been comfortable joining the conversation during this course in particular. And then it's because of the, you know, the lectures the lecturer is relatively open to basically everything I have said. And then I think you all guys are also quite, knowledgeable and helpful, because I'm always believing that there is some kind of like interplay between speaking out and also, you know, receiving the information from the others. So I think that I have learned a lot, like, you know, by joining the conversation with this, you know, this course. Yeah, I'm comfortable.
Was there then anything, if we would ask the question in a different way, did anyone feel at any point uncomfortable? Like, maybe now this is not quite working for me. Maybe a moment, because usually things are not one way or the other, but there are like moments and things evolve in the process. Or something that you would do better in that sense.
Are you referring to the course or?
Yes. This how could the course promote even more comfortable joining of the conversation?
I think the time in between the timeline of the course is very compressed and intensive course, and for those who have the time to go through all the readings, I guess it's wonderful, but some of us don't. And I think the way the exercises connect to the readings and then the discussion in class, it's very interesting. But I would definitely want to have more time to process all this information, like to spread out the course in a way that I can really go through the readings with care, and also that we can have space with others to really discuss the readings, because there were super interesting ideas and narratives and examples that we have to go through very quickly in class, if at all. So I found that, you know, this same team of people would have been able to have amazing, interesting, you know, debates about certain things that were in the text, and there was no time for that.
You were nodding.
Yes, I was nodding. I agree that the texts were very interesting, but there wasn't enough time maybe to process those, and sometimes those texts were quite difficult in a way, so it needs some time to reflect and then to start talking about that. So.
But the methodology, I think they really complement very well between the literature, the exercises, and then the presentations, the lectures, the proper lectures and slides were really very nicely connected.
In that setup, you were mentioning the issues of timing in relation to the amount of material and tasks.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that another issue, or is it a problem that the group, our group, is diverse in backgrounds and in perhaps in the different moments that they are in their experiences and research and backgrounds?
No, it doesn't seem like that.
No.
For me, yes. But it makes the course interesting, because that everyone is aware of different things, and they're and there are discussions because of that.
Yes, and you mentioned in the beginning a little bit that the degree of comfort for you would have been maybe greater if some of the things were you had a bit more experience with them.
But yeah, for sure. But you also have to start from not having things, so in a way.
We don't have to know everything all the time about everything, so.
I have a question for the master's students. I'm sure you didn't feel uncomfortable because you're a master's student and you're too very confident in your ways. But did you think about it while being in the course?
For me, there are differences of how I don't know if it is because of the discipline or because of the levels of education in a way, but there are differences between what I'm used to about how to, in general, the content of the course and also how people speak about something versus what we are doing in the class. I don't know if that answers your questions or do you want something more specific? I noticed the difference. Yes.
Noticed the difference.
Yeah.
No, I just find it brave. Like, not that this is a scary place. I'm not saying that, but I'm. While I was a master's student, I would never consider to get into a doctoral student class.
Yeah, me neither. I never appeared to me that.
But well, for me, maybe I just signed up for the wrong program. but I'm in a stage in the things that I'm doing and the way I wanna do research that actually what happens often to me, master's student courses seem not to be, people doesn't seem to be committed enough to building knowledge. They seem curious but lightly so about topics. Their conversations aren't as thorough. It's not a matter of education. Some people have, you know, well-read backgrounds, but the seriousness with which they approach discussion and content is never the same as I would expect. And so for me, it was something instead of kind of like, oh, finally. Like people that are serious about what they're doing. Also, because artists tend to be very relaxed when it comes to methodologies, or they're not craving tools to do research in the same way that you guys are, like, you know, interested in becoming stronger in that level. So it's just much more relaxed atmosphere, and sometimes, yeah, it becomes less interesting.
Yeah, isn't it kind of about art making?
Mostly, it's also about artistic research.
Okay.
And at
okay.
the same time, artistic research, they're trying to figure out what that means.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And definitely what I get from you guys coming from design and architecture is a much more structured way of thinking of research that artists perhaps would call positivist. But, you know, because it's way, like, it resembles too much to science. So, and then they're in the completely other side of the spectrum.
What did you want to add something else?
Yeah, I was just reflecting on my own discipline in architecture. Like, I agree totally with you that in master level probably people are less committed and maybe less serious about conducting research, but more like producing something for themselves in a way, like, or reflecting on their own learning rather than actually finding out something new. So I think that is something that is interesting about doctoral level courses. And yeah, architecture is also mostly about making something physical, and it's not so much about words or like in terms of thick information about something, but you take something in a broad context and generalize it. But in general, the discipline is shifting towards more like trying to produce something for that are a bit more detailed in a smaller scale, rather than like going from a top-down approach. So that's why I think some of us need to kind of think about the research method and how to produce this information for further. Yeah, just a reflection of what I think about why is it useful.
Sorry, we're at 20 minutes, so we would need to switch the facilitator.
Okay.
Very great.
That was
pro.
Yeah, pro.
Can I steal your pen for later?
I don't know if I'm being subversive, but since we did the introduction for 10 minutes,
yeah,
and then we are discussing the actual questions, should we give a little bit time for the third question, or do we really swap?
I think
this
we really swap.
Okay.
We swap, but that doesn't mean we have to, I think, jump the questions.
Yes.
Yeah. Go according to the...
Or maybe the person who takes a note, the notes can give a hint to the facilitator. You know, we're running out of time.
Well, we're supposed to cover three questions in 2 minutes?
No, what we can, yeah. But, yes, so on this note, I give the ground to Ida, who will carry on. And probably what Vanessa was saying connects nicely with our next topic of discussion.
Yes. So, Vanessa, are you ready?
Yes, let's go.
Start taking notes.
This is the third question.
Yes, this is the third question. So, let's jump right into the third question. So, in your experiences at Aalto or elsewhere, are there significant differences in how comfortable you have felt in different teaching situations? So to clarify, this question isn't about getting personal or naming names or singling out courses that you have liked or not liked, but in any given time period, could you say that there has been a type of teaching that has been rewarding?
Rewarding.
Yeah.
Only.
Type of teaching or in your past experiences. So, how do you feel in different kinds of teaching situations?
I guess in the department we have like different. You can think different courses, right? So. From my experience, I took a course in artistic research at some point because it was interesting to understand what is artistic research. And I've been taking courses like doing research, for example, or introduction to design research. Now this course, and I must say that the way of teaching is very different in those courses. And also the environment the teacher creates is very different. So there are inclusive environments and there are also environments that I've been attacked, literally. I was standing in front of the board and I was attacked in a personal level. And
by the teacher.
By the professor on the quality of my work. And so that's what I was saying the other day. Remember that, you know, you have to present certain audiences and then you get responses that then it's not easy for you to present again. So I had this type of incident, and I don't know, it might be that, you know, that behavior came from a good place, let's say. So, you know, you want your students to get better, improve, blah, blah, but then that made me feel bad. And
when you told first the anecdote, I thought you were referring to something that had happened like somewhere abroad, like far away.
Really?
I realize it was closer to home. We're talking about home in a way.
Yeah.
So maybe it's more...
But this happened in Aalto.
This happened in Aalto.
Okay.
I'm talking about Aalto.
Yeah.
And then in artistic research, you know, it wasn't really for me. So it was very inclusive. Like in artistic research, it can't be that the environment is not inclusive. Or it can, I don't know. It was very inclusive, but maybe it was not agreeing with certain things in the class, so it was not easy to follow up.
Like, but in such a way that like everything goes.
Yeah.
I also have a bit similar experience. I also wanted to understand what is this artistic methods in art or design methods used in art or artistic methods used in design.
Mm.
Mm.
And I wanted to understand what that is more like better, not from a text. And I agree with Maria, while the environment was very inclusive, somehow I felt like this is definitely farther, although I am interested in craft making and doing and the knowledge, the embodied knowledge that comes from doing.
Mm.
But it is about art after all. And if you remember the other day, I was mentioning trying to find difference between art and design, because I think that more often than not in the teaching is they are getting mixed and used interchangeably. In some teaching, for example, related to this course, they say yes, designers can come along too. But then you go there, and it's. I felt that it wasn't for me, but for me as designer, like I felt the same than you. It's not really, because. I don't want to lengthen, but I mentioned before to try to make this difference between art and design, and I was trying to understand: is it me that I'm being difficult in this course? I'm not feeling difficult, not being, but more like feeling.
Mm.
And then, yeah. But I think that there should be some clarity about those differences for the students, a little bit ground differences.
Yeah.
And not let us figure it out for ourselves, like everything. Of course, we should figure out some things, but not everything.
Yeah. What about Emilia? You seem to be nodding and... about teaching situations.
I have not had too many in the master's level, but I think I would agree with Mary that it has been very, very different, and I think it has really depended on who the professor is and what their experience or their research background and also teaching experience has been. Because there are situations where, of course, the professor, I suppose that they mean well, but they create the situation to push you with a kick on the butt.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are situations when it's a lot more about kind of guiding you or maybe pulling you a little bit, but without doing necessarily like... harm. So I think it's been very, overall it's been nice and positive.
Of those you were talking about, which type do you find more rewarding, more that is more for you, for your way of learning?
I think I find courses nice and helpful. For example, this one I like that it's really hands-on and inclusive and we can discuss, but actually on a doctoral level I find supervisory meetings much more powerful than the classes themselves, because classes are usually catered for a very broad audience where typically it's very hard to explain, for example, what your research objectives are or why you're working on the topic.
Mm.
Whereas I am lucky to have very regular supervisory meetings with a professor who knows me and my topic well.
Mm.
So then there, I'm also much more open to critique, also harsh critique, but because her and I have established the grounds, we know what her role is or what the role of that commentary is, and that we can address that in, let's say, in 2 weeks in the next session. We can still come back after I have had time to reflect or develop, rather than being on a spot in a classroom when the other person doesn't necessarily understand what I'm talking about, and I don't have the time to go on a half an hour rant to explain what I have done and where I'm heading with this.
What about Ning Feng? What about you and your supervisor relationship?
I would say my supervisor is really nice. Yeah. And somebody, maybe probably you know her, and she's quite open to me. At least I feel like relatively free in doing what I'm pleased to do, and she's not that kind of like pushing guy or something. But concerning, what I feel about the course in the Aalto, I would say that I'm not that sensitive to how a professor or how this human behave that would affect me. But I'm really, if I feel like rewarding something, I'm really concerned, with the content. For example, like this course is, for me, it's like perfectly rewarding because I have never somehow, gone such in depth into this kind of like qualitative contents or something. So basically I am somehow an objective oriented person, so when I'm focusing on, for example, like the lecturing contents or something, it is helpful, then I know that this must be rewarding to me. And combining this teaching method or stuff, we exclude how the professor behave or the tune they talk and the pattern they behave. We don't, for example, like I personally, I don't give too much attentiveness about that, but I'm focusing on the content. Right now I have, for example, like a guideline, at least into doing how to get, data from this qualitative research, even though I have some kind of like a fuzzy thinking or stuff, but never so deep into the content. And all the things, the articles I read, it provides me insights and give me the rewarding, at least the feelings. And, most things that you have something, something you can use, something you can feel in the hands, apply it, just like this.
Yeah.
Okay, I got a book to follow.
Yeah.
I'm this kind of person.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I feel like it's
good. Yeah, this is a great opportunity to go to the fourth question, actually, about the contents. So how important it is that course contents in the school have an academic quality? So we were talking about Vika courses and maybe about the art making. So, yeah.
What means an academic quality?
Yeah, well, that's a good. we could define
depends how we define
academic quality, but we can define it here and together and but yeah.
Because I think what Emilia was saying, for instance, that it was very useful or fruitful compared to peer relationships in a group, that one-on-one communication with supervisor, of course, is directly useful for your research. But I think the question, if I may go to the previous question, was more intended as fruitful for your overall learning, to support your learning, because of course those, I mean, luckily you have a good supervisor and it's going well for you, but other relationships with supervisors may be like actually difficult and not so fruitful and very frustrating, exactly because you are left with one person from who you depend completely. If that relationship doesn't work, it really can be paralyzing for your research or really dragging you. But I think the peer situation is really different because you're exposed to a different way of learning, and you learn not just from what you do or what you say or how it connects to your research, but how people interact and the questions they ask to each other, you're learning there too. So I think I would call academic quality that when you have a learning situation in which you are learning not just from the person standing in front, and from everybody in the room, and that doesn't happen so often.
Yeah, sharing.
And to add to that, because I would say that we can compare doctoral advisory meetings, different kinds of advising, and then we can compare different kinds of teaching in a group, in a class.
Yeah.
Because then it would be a bit unfair comparison, or coherent comparisons to talk about on the same settings. I would agree with what you said.
And then referring to artistic production, courses that are targeted to support this artistic production, I guess just
it's just a different objective, you know, and people are in a different mode altogether. Their production works in a completely different way. They're not producing knowledge in the same way researchers are doing it in the social sciences or in all other disciplines. So, and because I'm concerned with the production of knowledge, for me it's a little bit, I don't feel it's so fruitful, those discussions. But for artistic processes, they may be. And they need that, that level of freedom and like flexible boundaries and so forth. But I think academic quality, if you would cut across the arts, it has to be supported on peer debates. It has to be supported on like strong grasp of theory. And I think in that sense, this course, it quickly like went to my high rank courses where I felt, okay, there's a good balance of things, you know, hands-on and at the same time good resources of theories and stuff like that. And a teacher that is completely with the team, working with them, not just removed and saying, okay, read all this stuff, which has been the case also in the theoretical courses in arts.
Perhaps another point of quality. Actually, I missed a full question, but
course contents in the school and their academic quality.
In the, of course, perhaps it cannot be thrown into every course, but the issue of sustainability and different forms of sustainability, I think that should come across more explicitly. As a background, as a backdrop, as a feeding through literature, through different ways in which it should come across, because we have a planet that is under great, great pressures, and it still doesn't come. Like, things keep happening as if they were normal, and actually we are in quite abnormal, difficult situations, like the planet, the pressures on the planet, and the people, and animals, and everything. So, I think it shouldn't be so.
I'm gonna add to that and say something not as deep as that. But
I wasn't trying to be deep.
What I miss from doctoral studies. Okay, we've been talking about, you know, theory and how well is the theory combined with the assignments we have, etc., etc. That perhaps some master level courses are more focusing on making, etc. But what I'm missing is actually making on a doctoral level, because I feel that doctoral students are excluded from that in some kind of way. For me, it's very hard to find the workshops to communicate what I want to do, because I haven't been a master student here in the department. So it's quite tricky to find my way around. So my ideal course would be something that combines making with academic quality in terms of theory and participation in class, because this is something that is not around.
Can you give an example of making? What kind of making do you mean in your case?
Making, so I'm not talking about concept development, or so it can be concept, I don't know, even the props exercise, you know, like we should, I think it would be nice if we could make it.
Yeah.
If we could, if the course could give us some materials to work with that.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a form of making, or making in terms of your own research. So you, I don't know if all of you have to produce something, maybe you don't need, because most doctoral research here doesn't need to produce stuff. But maybe a course that asks you to produce something for your work, an example for your work, something like this.
Prototype or something.
Yeah, prototype.
What I think is, I don't know if, using the same example of the probes, because during the bachelor and especially in the masters, you get chances, or are expected or supposed to get chances to do those things, then that you already have that, and when you do in the doctoral, it's kind of go deeper or in other levels with that, but you already did that in a way.
Yeah, but here it seems like we leave it behind. And for me, it's not something that I want to leave behind. It's something that wants to go in parallel.
But I would think, you know, from the outside, not knowing how it's operating or what it's required from you, I would think that it's up to you to put it as your priority to have a stage in your research where you actually do, as part of the research.
Yeah,
you know, like
it is, but it's
like
not
to,
supported, and
yeah.
It's not part of any course.
Well, it is supported if you look at the persons who are doing who are in the empirical research group, I think. But it has this artistic vein to it. But the main idea of those doctoral studies is the artist maker researcher, and that you do research through art, and your own art and your own artistic productions are your doctoral work, and that they have done, that the people who are involved in that have done a very long and hard work to make that kind of work accepted by the more traditional academics and academia as doctoral work.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, well, you have to respect them because the fight has been hard.
Mm-hmm.
But then you are right that then for designers, there could be a similar thing, but in the terms of design, not in the terms of art, that then you have to become an artist so that you get to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
If I mean, there are designers who feel a lot like artists, of course. You know, there are all types of designers, and there are also people who are not designers who are doing research in design. And then their perspectives are different.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I'm wondering if we have
we need to switch.
Yeah, we need to switch.
Yeah, I think it's time to switch. That was 41 minute 20 seconds.
Do you have any comments for us?
No, I think I'm okay. I have a comment, of course, but
okay.
It's okay.
Okay.
Multitasking is difficult.
So you're listening
by
five, six.
Yeah.
Well, maybe then I will take from the. So on this note of being academic and your own approach about what being academic or non-academic spaces are in Aalto, do you think, how does this course change your understanding of qualitative methods? How are these texts supporting you, or do you think they have help you make choices or understand what these qualitative methods are? And if you could use them in the future in your research?
I think for me, the biggest kind of eye-opener was the discussion on probing into what exists through something that doesn't exist yet, kind of more speculative methods and asking people to, let's say, envision a future and then through that reflecting on the reality and learning about the reality. Because I think a lot of the previous experience that I have with qualitative methods has been really focused on, let me observe what is happening now, let me ask people what is happening, let people make something, but it's not kind of through speculation reflecting on the reality. So that was kind of a very new angle on qualitative research and how that can be incorporated.
Yeah, I agree with Emilia. Yeah, a lot. And I really enjoyed the walking, the embodied approach to these methods. And I think I'm going to use the walking, maybe walking with video at some point, it seems.
What was interesting about that?
I think I could capture a lot with that kind of embodied way, but I enjoy the idea of video and taking video as well and capturing things, and there's the visual aspect, and then you can hear what people are saying, and you can yeah, it's like your eyes in a way. So yeah, I think I will be using that at least at some point.
So there's something we didn't discuss about that, but doesn't it make you concerned that the video will may inhibit the person a little bit, make them feel even more observed under the spot?
Well, I think if I'm studying millennials, and I think having my iPhone and shooting a video at the same time is okay, and it's for millennial people, so that's quite they know what it is, and yeah, and even younger, so it's so part of their everyday life. So I think that's, well, those things are changing, and people are more comfortable with
those methods, maybe.
Or with performing.
Yeah, with performing, exactly, exactly. Yeah, performing themselves.
Yeah.
But it's an alternative for the traditional observation and interviewing, I suppose. So.
Yeah. Did anybody enjoy the walking exercise or thought of it as useful and fruitful for the research?
I was imagining it to be quite useful, but when I actually tried to use it like in the class exercise, it was really difficult to kind of have control over the situation while listening, while making notes and doing all the things. But I think in general it's really nice how like the diversity of method that can be used. Or I was thinking that actually probably in some kind of research that you can use more than one method on the same target group or target audience without emphasizing so much on the fact that or like to get a different kind of information out of them in a way. And I think mixing the method can be really interesting as well, in my opinion.
Yeah, about you, Neil?
Yes, I feel, again, it's kind of like, you know, somehow I agree with you guys say, but from the different perspective, because like I said, that I'm more or less a pragmatist. I'm really focusing on this kind of practical approach that I have, I can get. So I agree that there is some kind of an eye-opener or really creative insights, but personally, I don't think that is something that I can use, you know, recently, especially concerning my topic. But what I feel better about this course, or at least at this course in particular, is that I found, again, it make the things that used to be more abstract and, you know, strategically in a strategically or transcendental, you know, advantageous position now become like concrete. So I know, okay, how I can proceed or how I can, you know, use this kind of method. For example, you were talking about walking with videos or walking. I found that useful, you know. Maybe that's not, I wouldn't feel like it is a creative insight, but I would say that it is, okay, this is just a useful insight I have never heard. Now I know it. I can just grab it and use it. And I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, but you just said at the beginning that that many of these methods, you don't think you can use them.
No.
Why
for example,
not?
Like this culture probe, colonoscopy, something like that, you know. It's, you like you said, you know, you cannot control where it goes. Maybe it is useful, like, you know, to have something creative or to probe some creativeness out. But like I said, I really, you know, I'm a pragmatist. So I have to focus on my research with the time, with the budget, and with all these kind of things in a relatively fixed and controlled laboratory situation. So I'm not allowed this situation to happen, that if something goes coming from nowhere or it, something like emerges, something I cannot control. So I'm basically 1, 2, 3 focusing on, okay, I get this, then I logically get the second one and then the third one. So I would say that I'm this kind of traditional, conventional, you know, researcher. I have to control the situation. I have to control the situation, especially you know, when we're talking about the literatures and all the theories that I have, they are appear in the book. Like I said, they are basically plain terminologies, something grounded theory, objective hermeneutics. What the fuck was that? You know, but in this course, I know, okay, this is something grounded. And hermeneutics basically means explanation. I said, why do you say it simple? And having these kind of forms led me to, you know, let me observe how a focus group doing. I feel pretty good about this, you know, this kind of approach.
So the expectations you had, or that's also the next question for you to think about. The expectations you had when you came into this course, were they somehow fulfilled by the course, like about learning of these qualitative methods, an overview of them?
Yes,
or the usefulness.
Personally, the usefulness and practicality, is that the word?
It's interesting because you say they're useful and practical, but at the same time you don't think they quite fit with what you want to do.
Because you cannot use all the methods in your work.
Yeah,
so I think that's what he's saying, is that he doesn't
like
also them, but he cannot use all of them. But that's the case for all of us, I think.
Yeah,
I think
probably you also need some time to digest what you actually learned and think about what is useful in your own context.
Yes. I'm not, again, I'm not that kind of person who believe in, you know, 100% inspiration or creativeness. I'm more like this, you know, put myself in a technological way, even though it is not advocated, but I'm a problem solution formulation guy.
How about media?
I don't know what to say.
Did the course in any way change your views about qualitative methods?
Well, from that perspective, I think what this course helped me a lot with is that we've done a lot of research. I come from collaborative and industrial design program here. And in our program, we do pretty much every course involves a lot of research, but we don't necessarily frame it as like academic research. So I found a lot more power in knowing that I already have these skills. It's just turning them into properly documenting them and storing that data is what would make it academic research. So it's a lot more for me about just being, okay, I know how to do many of these things. I learned additional things that I could do, but I just need to be concrete in how to practically shape them into research data. So from that perspective, it was really good. And I agree with like just practicalities of how to do things was extremely useful, because I find the courses where it's all stays at a theoretical, or I just read it, a definition from a book kind of level, not necessarily very useful, or it's useful in a way, but I'm not ready to take it and apply it to my work.
I could add to what you were saying in the beginning, connecting to the question about the quality of good academic teaching or academic environment. I think that's a key thing that happens with design in at the master's level, that there is so much going on, but somehow the about research and what kind of research methods are being used, for example, the probes and so many other things are happening, but somehow the students are not told or made aware of this.
Yeah,
and
totally.
You agree?
Yes.
And then by not making this visible, I think that the master degree studies would be much more richer and interesting if students would be aware of this. It doesn't mean to make it super heavy, the course with theories, because that's not the point.
Yeah.
But it should be have a more explicit presentation of all these.
Yeah, I'd absolutely agree with you. I think this is something that is very helpful, even not master, but bachelor level, when you're entering the academic world, you understand how things are structured. Like, of course, you have to learn things by hand or just by looking at how other people do as well, but it is extremely helpful since the beginning, you know where to categorize and put things in order, what are the things that, for example, the kind of research method that we learn in these courses or this case study, I think we all have come across it at some point and just dismiss it without realizing that the potential that are in there. And I think it would help us so much more if this course is happening in earlier stage of the education.
Yes, at the level of BAs and at the level like appropriate for the level. But to give a context.
To be more integrated throughout the education.
And then the people would be more conscious of that. We were talking also the other day outside the class of the quality of the master studies, and that sometimes, or we also today, some people mentioned it, that it means more like this hobby, this like diversion and doing things for yourself and for expressing
it means that people that want to be, you know, they're craving information about the discipline. They want to absorb, you know, everything that's been happening, the debates have, you know, they don't know exactly where they're standing yet, so they're in like the sponge mode.
Yeah.
And when you're a researcher, I think you start being like, okay, I want to do, you know, I want to build meaning and I want to build knowledge from something that's interesting to me in the discipline. But you have the map of the discipline already kind of back there. I don't think,
but that
a lot of master students don't have that yet.
But exactly, I mean, how to fill that gap so that the master students have it. To what Emilia was saying, that there is a lot of the research work going on, probing, focus groups, observations, because that's what especially industrial designers do. Check, observe, look at the realities and try to change how people cooperate, how they collaborate, how they produce parks, cities, gardens, buildings, houses, and it's very thick in that way.
Well,
but no one is recording it or registering. Well, that's an exaggeration. Make it more conscious and more visible. It would be very useful, I think.
So now that you have this kind of like map of different choices of methods, do you think you could justify when choosing one of them for your research? Would that be like, has the course helped you to make a choice and justify that choice to your peers or colleagues? Or do you feel instead kind of like lost or confused about the multiplicity of things and options that are presented?
I think the course has helped me to justify the choices and take those more experimental methods for my research, since Eva has provided us great list of readings and theoretical viewpoints on that. So I think that would be fairly easy to justify or delve into these things and certain methods more based on the literature.
I would like to go more into video interviewing, but I feel that I have to learn that I have to learn a lot, so that it somehow that it would be good, or I don't know if it can be very scratchy, and then I have to read more and discuss more and maybe have good advice on how to go about it properly, because it's about interviewing the people, but also through the objects. So this notion of object interview, I would like to learn much more about that.
Yeah. I think for me, it will provide a lot more, at least ways to find justification for the methods that I want to do, or kind of see what they're useful for, what their limitations might be, and in what combinations they might serve the best. And then there are initial kind of resources of where to find good academic quality research on why they are useful. So then I can, if I need to, I can go further beyond that and look into the resources and the references and find ways how to justify to someone that I need to do this, or to myself, that this is a good method.
Well, for me, not just the method itself. Like, for example, I'm very interested in using PARPs for my study. But, and also it kind of get me rethink about my own research question, because it opened up a lot more flexibility to what kind of information are there possible that you can dig out with this kind of new method, in a way. And I think that, that is really helpful probably at this stage, but probably what I'm looking forward is now that knowing this method, after digesting, then probably choosing the method will come next, but in a more solid way, in a way. Yeah, I think in general.
In a more what?
To be able to make the decision a bit more. In a solid manner, I guess. Yeah. Now it's this or there, you know, for me.
1 minute to go.
Should we open the next questions?
Well, there are more questions, but I was curious about one thing.
Yeah.
How do you find, if I may just
hijacking
exercise. No, how do you feel about group exercises in this course or other courses? Do you feel that they're giving you something substantial, or do you feel like it's just that we just get a few ideas and maybe develop them a little bit and then we deliver something and that's it? or do you feel like there's something interesting happening with the group assignments?
Yes, and the manner, like most of the time is in the manner you do something and then deliver it. But it, I think for me, it really depends on the person whether they reflect upon it later, like of what they have done. But also some people are very creative in group rather than individually. And I think they really benefit from having a group exercise, in my opinion.
No. Anybody else about that?
Well, we did a lot of group work in the business school. Every single course we had a group work, and I'm used to those. But it's basically, for me, hanging out with friends and doing something and then presenting it, and that's about it. So I don't feel I really learn from them. I learn from writing my own essays and my own things, typically. Sorry. Sometimes some ideas, but it's quite superficial, in my opinion, as a pedagogical method.
Mm.
For some people it works, of course it works, but
yeah. Maybe it also depends on the groups.
Yeah,
and the topic.
Mm. Or topic of the, yes, yeah.
But I agree with you,
yeah.
I am more
yeah.
in your line somehow.
Going deeper by oneself.
Yeah. So. But did you ask the question by meaning that perhaps for you some of the exercises gave you some more superficial insight, but not...
I'm interested in group work, period, how people interact and what they... if you know, the exposure to others is
Guys.
Promoting learning or not. So that's...
Did the recording die?
We're not
die?
Supposed to ask the researcher about the questions.
It did.
Did you stop it?
Well, it was stopped. I think it ran out of space.
We have a backup.
Yeah. Only recently.
But let's then.
No, it was beeping for a long time.
Yeah.
And then it just, or maybe it ran out at like 1 hour or something.
But we have the iPhone.
Yeah.
Luckily.
You think it ran out of space? I didn't hear the beeping.
Yeah, I saw it.
She's
like blinking.
It was like okay.
Right.
Are you recording a new one then?
No. That one is stopped. This one is still running, but I think we could just wrap up. Wait. I need a break.
You hijacked it.
Yeah.
Great. How's it going?
Okay, I would say. Yeah.